you know, after listening to two of the podcasts that you've been on, I got the feelings like, man, your parents didn't take you to Toys R Us. You never went to Disney World.
I don't think we had a Toys R Us.
You had to drive the Z24 Cavalier.
No, I wanted to.
Oh, you wanted to? that makes it worse.
Hey kids, it's Doc. Welcome to what it's going to end up being, episode 203, part one. We had our good buddy Dan the Maker Man sit in with us this week. It was a lot of fun. We talked about our favorite cartoons when we were kids, video games, and, you know, general tomfooleries, as we are akin to do. You want to check us out, keep in touch with us. We're on Facebook and on Instagram. Easy enough to find. But we'll go to episode 203, already in progress.
I've been to Florida twice, and I hated it both times because I don't like chewing the air before I breathe it.
Yeah.
Where did you go in Florida?
And you don't. People not from Florida don't get to say they hate Florida with such disdain. It's sort of like, what other example can you, like, you know, you can't say I hate Florida. We can only say that. How dare you?
So one time was a family vacation. We went all through Florida, all the way down to Key West. And the second time was in high school when the marching band went and did a parade at Universal Studio.
So you've never been to Disney World, is what you're saying?
I don't remember.
Dude, you would remember if you'd been to Disney World.
I don't remember if I've been to Disney World or Disneyland.
It's literally magic, dude.
Which one had the Indiana Jones stunt show?
That's not Disney. That's probably Universal or something.
That's Universal.
Well, I was there. And I was at Epcot.
No, that's MGM. Isn't it MGM? I think it's MGM with what's his name? Harrison Ford's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm. Where he runs on stage and the ball rolls. And like back then it was like, oh, but really.
I think that's at Hollywood Studios.
Either way, I don't care about Disneyland or World. Okay.
Yes, you do. Man, I don't. You care.
Dude, I don't mean to psychoanalyze you, but, you know, after listening to two of the podcasts that you've been on, I got the feelings like, man, your parents didn't take you to Toys R Us. You never went to Disney World.
I don't think we had a Toys R Us.
You had to drive the Z24 Cavalier.
No, I wanted to.
Oh, you wanted to? that makes it worse. This has explained a lot, man. I get to learn all about you guys just by listening.
Popular opinion is that was a great car.
According to who?
Everyone.
The pink leopard tiger stripes really set it off, though.
Maroon.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. It looked
like a crime scene, dude, when you saw the picture that you posted. what happened in that car?
What was your first car there, Macho Man?
I'll tell you, I was not lucky. My first car, I had to get when I was like, 20? Because we were poor, right? We had zero money. I had a bus pass. That's what I had. And I joined the Army. I got my driver's license in the Army. Damn. Drove a Humvee in the Army. That was my first car, was a Humvee. And then I got out and I was like, okay, well, now, you know, getting a real job, make some money. And the first car I got was a Nissan 240SX, a 1995 Nissan 240SX. And I got out of the Army in 95. So,
wow.
And I had that car for 10 years, loved it, still love it.
Sounds fancy.
What color were the seat covers?
Yeah.
No seat covers, man.
He just completely trumped your first car. He's like, my first car was technically a Humvee.
Yeah,
did the Humvee have tiger seat covers?
Well, it was crazy, man, because I get in the Humvee and it's like I literally learned how to drive in that car. I mean, I'd driven like other cars like when I was younger, just once or twice, you know. It's like, oh, go down the block in your mom's car or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the first time you're like, all right, you just take a written test, right, to get your driver's license. It's a hard test. But you just get the test, you do it, they give you your license, and it's like something that comes off of a printer and they just laminate. right? And it's like, there you go. No picture, no nothing.
Like a library and, card.
Yeah. And, you know, we go out and we're like in the woods and trails and you're not worried about hitting anything. So it's like, you know, this is all great and fun. And then like, yeah, we need to go on a training mission. So we're going to do a convoy. And I was like, what? I was like, okay, so we're, what are, you know, how do we get there? And it's like, well, you got to get on an Autobahn. And dude, I was so freaking nervous. It's like, I'm driving like for the, my first freeway is the Autobahn.
That's crazy.
And it's just like, man, I was shaking like a leaf the whole time for at least like the first 100 miles, man. Then eventually kind of calmed down, but it was just, it was super nerve wracking.
But you were in a Humvee driving down the Autobahn?
Yeah, but it wasn't like you're in a convoy, so you're going like there's, you're maybe going 45, 50 miles an hour. And you're like right behind another guy. And it's usually like a giant truck. So you see nothing but like whatever's on your peripherals, which I mean, you can't catch anything, man. It was just, it made the drive super long. It's just terrible.
When you first said that, I thought to my, I pictured you driving, hauling ass down the Autobahn, you know, just going, you know, and now that you said, you know, all that, you sort of, you know, grounded it. I'd like to keep that picture in mind though. Dan, the Maker Man, heavy metal playing and stuff.
Yeah. Second question. What was the audio system in that car?
In the Humvee?
In the Humvee. Yeah. Yeah.
It had no radio. You had a, like the military radios, they call them the PR-77. They used to call them the prick 77s just because. And you know what's funny about those, right? So they got like a, every company has a radio guy that like fixes them and stuff when they break. And his rule for like when stuff wasn't working, it's like, hey man, it's not working. I'm like getting nobody, you know, on the other end here. This guy just take out the cables and blowing them. I was like the Nintendo cartridge. He's like, yeah. I was like, seriously, like, yeah. And dude, I shit you not, you do it and it freaking work. It's like you plug the cable back in and it's like, okay, it's all good as new. You can hear the other guy.
So that would work.
That's magic. That's how that works.
That's what I do for everything now. Yeah. Me too. Take it out and blow on it.
Me too. I'm not as flexible anymore, but I used to do that.
So the idea is take it out and blow on it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a
good life lesson.
That should be the title.
I don't think we want to do that. People might misconstrue what we're trying to say.
No, see, but that's why they have to listen to the whole podcast. We will say, what is it? Take it out and blow on them.
I don't know.
Take it out and blow on them, featuring Dan the Maker Man.
We're gonna this will be the first ever triple entendre. We're gonna go one past what you usually ever have seen before. Triple entendre.
Stay tuned till the end, and Dan the Maker Man will whip it out and
it's blow only on it. See, it's the wires. It's only dirty when you think in a dirty way. He was explaining electronics, and all of a sudden. The audience is totally in the gutter. So I'm going to push for it. Where's title, Dan the Maker Man. And then what? Splicing wires together? I don't remember the thing. But
he already forgot what it was.
And pepper and spice.
Well, it's funny what brought it up getting Dan on this week was me and him were talking in a separate chat. And he said something about Bale's car. And he said, what did you say about a Happy Meal or something?
Oh, it was going back to my psychoanalysis of Bale's. I was like, that's why Bale's is a dick, man. He's never been to Toys R Us. I was like, he's probably never had a Happy Meal.
Dude, I worked at McDonald's. Of course I had a Happy Meal.
I was feeling so bad for you, man. I was like, poor kid was neglected. They forced him to drive at 14.
You know, I was never to that Happy Meal thing. Think about it. Cheap little... it never was a thing like, oh, I want a Happy. I really didn't. And I did get Happy Meals, but the toys were so lame.
I don't know. Dan sodomizes them for projects.
As a kid.
Oh, yeah. He did as a kid, too.
Oh, really?
The idea.
All comes full circle. It's just.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I learned how to drive at 12. My uncle taught me on the farm.
What did you learn on?
His pickup truck. Go get the pickup truck. Go get a couple of buckets or whatever from the machine shop, you know?
Was it stick shift or?
That was automatic.
Okay.
And then skid loader. We had
a box truck.
The two major joysticks in a skid loader and you do the bucket with your feet.
Nice.
Yeah. That was confusing as hell.
I learned how to drive a box truck when I was 14. I used to wash trucks, semi-truck trailers. And we had this box truck that we would take the pressure washer and the buckets of acid and stuff around in. And the owner left and he's like, oh, just move the truck or whatever. So we backed out. I backed it out of this parking lot at the company we were washing trucks at. And the back, the thing on the back called where you step up, like the bumper or whatever. I backed that underneath a guardrail and lifted the guardrail. The post of the guardrail was like a 6-inch post. Lifted it up out of the ground. It was sticking up in the air, the guardrail.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awful. He didn't fire me.
Damn. I mean, that's pretty barbaric.
He's like, I told you to move it.
Eloy learned how to drive fan boats at 6.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wrestling gators since age 2.
What are they called? Airboats?
Airboats, yeah. Yeah, that whole thing, driving airboats, I mean, I don't have anything as exciting as far as, you know, automobiles per se, but the airboat thing is pretty cool. It's pretty easy to learn to drive those, but there's no brakes on them. So, and if you get too excited and you're going over the grass, the sawgrass, if you like spin out, like you could do little spins and stuff and you're just like skiing over the top of the water and grass. If you do a wrong move, it's so shallow, you could end up on a bank of mud, and if you slide and stop, it'll sink into the mud. And once you're sunk into the mud, you're freaking stuck. And that happened to me a few times. I had a boatload of people got stuck in the mud. I actually, you're not supposed to do this, but in order not to get in trouble, I asked all my passengers to get out of the boat so that I could slide it, like I could it could be less heavy. And that when that didn't work, I asked them to grab onto the hull on the sides and shake it while I steered and, pedal to the metal and try to get that. And, dude, they were muddy. We did get it out. They were muddy. I'm not going to say that one. We got the boat out. We got back to the dock. The boss was there because I was running late. Everybody was full of mud. And they're getting out full of mud, and my boss is looking at Eloy. What happened? Oh, no, nothing. They were full of mud.
So that's about the 12-minute mark.
12-minute mark.
And none of them told on you? None of them squealed?
Dude, I got lucky that time.
It's part of the show,
like,
right?
Did you really have to talk them into getting out of the boat?
In or out?
If I was in the Everglades and you told me to step out of a boat into freaking gator-infested swamp, I wouldn't do it.
Yep. No, but you have to understand when I would take people out, it's if I tell you, it's one thing. But if you're dressed like an official, which I was, I had a uniform and like I looked like freaking official, dude. I was official, right? And I say it's safe. You'd be amazed at what people can get away with if they're dressed in a monkey suit or any type of suit.
People at Lowe's and Home Depot look official too, but they don't know anything.
Well, yeah, but it's such a common thing. But yeah, people would actually say, okay, some people get scared. Women would get scared and they jump on you. And there was one dude that loved to scare them. Like he'd find the prettiest girl on the boat and like he'd get her out. Like he'd say, we'll pick one person. So he had a whole thing and she'd get in the water and he'd get in there too. And he'd be like Mr. Macho Man, alligator, you know, so he'd go, look, a snake. And he'd just pop the water and she'd go, ah, and she'd jump into his arms. Like this happened over and over and over and over again. That was his like little thing. Yeah, there's some crazy characters out there, you know, in the Everglades.
You did a real good job when you told that story, not owning it yourself. And
which one?
Just one just now. And then what he would do when he got him in the water is he would say stuff. You never once...
No, yeah. I did not because that's not my style, dude. That's not, I'm not like, you know, like setting up a situation.
Right. That's not your style at all. You're all about, could you guys get out of the boat and push, please?
I'll do that. Like, I'll be frank with people. I'll tell them, listen, guys, I need you to get out of the boat. Like I told them, guys, we're not.
I'm in charge now. Look at my costume.
Exactly.
look at these socks. I'm not messing around right now.
You got in the context of over there, like doing that out there, you're basically, they're putting their lives in your hand. You're driving. I mean, that thing is not. I mean, there's a propeller, an airplane propeller swinging made out of wood, with a cage that's soldered together. You know, and you're going through very shallow water. There's trees out there, and so I mean, literally, it's like, it's not. You know, there could be worse situations, but still, you know. So it does take a little bit. I was responsible, but that one time, you know, I didn't want to get in trouble, so I had everyone put. There's no alligators in that area. There are, but you know. Next question.
Well, I feel like Dan's been listening to this podcast since the beginning. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Poor and Dan. Doc said we have to have the obligatory Batman conversation in every episode.
Yep, Batman. Put it down.
So not to stew on it too long, but which Batman is your Batman?
Oh, man, I don't. That's a tough one, man. I Doc made me think about something that I never ever took into consideration when I think it was on the last one. Whenever we are talking about the Batman situation, one of the later episodes, and he mentioned that you don't hire the actor to play Batman; you hire him to play Bruce Wayne. And dude, that just blew my mind. I was like, "Holy crap!" He's like 100% correct. Cause it's like you can put anybody in a costume that's got a strong chin, and you know, the stunt double is going to do most of the work. It's like the guy's just got to look cool. And it's like, how hard is it to look super cool in the freaking, you know, Hollywood Batman costume that's fitted just for you. And I was like, damn. So, you know, for me, Christian Bale, that whole Nolan series of the Batman was my favorite. Cause I think it was the most well done, but I was not a fan of the bat flick, right? Everybody's like, I was like, man, I do not like Ben Affleck as Batman. I'll, you know, whatever, any of his other movies, it's great. He's a good actor. But
he was, don't, you can stop there. I'm happy.
He was the bomb in Phantoms, y'all.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he grew on me, man, after I watched the movie, the Batman versus Superman.
No, dude, no.
I was like, man, I'll cut him some slack. He did better than I thought he would.
Dude, we just watched Power Rangers last night. Yes, Power Rangers. And it was better than Justice League, in my opinion.
Oh my goodness. Dude, what is no, this is not good.
It was not bad.
Ugh. Not bad. I was never a Power Rangers kid, man. I wasn't into that as a kid. Growing up.
Me neither. All right, so wait a minute. Dan, don't skate the question. Batman.
Officially Bales.
Bale. Yes.
Yeah, oh, I want Brian Bales to be Batman in the movie.
He does have a strong chin.
Brian Bales as...
the shortest Bruce Wayne ever.
Yes, as mean Batman.
Well, how tall was Michael Keaton? He's not that tall.
I don't know. The best part about Keaton's Batman is his inability to turn his neck or turn his head. Like, he had to turn his freaking shoulders.
There's a scene in the second one, right, where he's like flying his bat boat thing through the sewer, right? And there's like two penguins. Yeah, there's like two penguins behind him, right? Like real penguins, they keep like coming back and forth to him and real penguins, and like the real penguin like takes a shot at him and it like goes, and like it's so ridiculous, like he actually like turns his whole body around to look at it, like did that just really happen? And then he got stuck and he had to ask the penguins to get out of the water to help him push the bat boat
because wait, it was out of the water.
Yeah, that's what happened. The bat boat got stuck, so he was like, attention, get everyone get out, and there was this really good looking female penguin. And what he would do is he'd be like, hey, then there's a snake. And then
he had his uniform on, though, so he was official.
Yeah, when you're dressed like Batman, people just believe you. If you're dressed like Batman, people just believe you.
I just want to say that the whole Batman thing, the main thing for me is for it to be like the comic books had in the 80s and stuff. It was dark. It was like dark, like Green Arrow, dark. Gritty blood, and the comics comedy stuff, or like slapsticky, or I don't know what you'd call it, is all right too, but I don't know, I like that sort of darker themed, like the Punisher, Green Arrow and stuff like that. So I'm not too, and as far as Bruce Wayne, dude, Ben Affleck, I'm sorry, no way.
So do you like Ben Affleck in anything else, or you just don't like the guy at all?
I, well, There was a movie. Let me see if I can think of what
it was. Good Will Hunting, right?
He loved him in Chasing Amy.
I didn't even see that movie. But
liar. Dude. The Town, The Accountant. The Accountant was pretty good.
Accountant was good. Argo was good.
Who? You know what? I don't watch too many. There's something. Did he do that movie where? No, he didn't do that movie. No, he. I don't particularly like his films. This is too clean, especially Bruce Wayne. He's too like Hollywood.
He's too Hollywood. If you had to pick,
if you had to pick someone, who would you pick to play Batman?
Brian Bills.
He's too liberal. Like he thinks he's. I don't know. It's there's no macho man freaking, you know, grit. It's all like little masseuse, pampered, and freaking. I hate that, dude. Like,
so you would like Clint Eastwood in his younger years, maybe as Batman.
Yeah, like, yeah, man. Some you know, like
hardcore, grizzled.
You know who'd be a better Bruce Wayne than freaking Ben Affleck? The chick from Kill Bill. She would be a better Bruce Wayne than Ben Affleck.
Which one?
Thelma Hayek?
Uma Thurman?
No, Uma Thurman. Yeah, that one.
I'll take some.
Thelma Hayek.
Yeah.
Thelma Hayek has more grit than this Affleck guy.
I don't think she's going to make a very good Bruce Wayne.
Dude, I'm, well.
It's just.
It's a new world, Doc. Whatever you
want. It's just, yeah, I'm not here to push my. You know, whatever on the people. So if that's your Batman that you want to write in your head, either way, go for it.
Yeah.
Dan, you're into the superhero thing. Who's your favorite superhero? You do a lot of Batman.
I like Batman a lot, man. And it's funny. That's part of that's my brother's influence on me. I've got an older brother, 5 years older than me. And he's like, he's a tremendous, even to this day, he still draws like comic book style. That's his favorite thing to draw. And so that's what I grew up with, him drawing that kind of stuff. And his favorite was always Batman. So it was kind of mine too. I mean, it's tough, man. Cause I'm right up there with Batman, Superman, Iron Man are like the three, you know, that's the Holy Trinity for me, even though Iron Man's Marvel. But yeah, man, Batman, it's the same reason everybody likes him, man. Cause he's just a regular guy that just works his ass off to become what he becomes, right? I mean, plus he's a billionaire, which helps tremendously, but...
Yeah, it's super relatable.
Yeah, he's
I mean, you think Daredevil would be more relatable. He's an average guy, too.
But I'm not blind, man.
What are the guys called that clean up afterward?
Chizmoppers? Oh, something different.
Jeez. Dude, that just rolled right off the tongue. That was like right there. That's right,
he's locked and loaded for that one.
I've been filling out a lot of applications this week.
I guess. Hopefully that works out for you, bud.
Did you apply for Fluffer?
Not yet.
Zing.
I was going for the higher paid jobs first.
My bad.
Yeah, swing big.
You know, it's funny when you said the whole cleaning up after the superheroes thing.
Oh, no.
No, I'm keeping it clean. So,
oh, gosh.
I'm not a big
video
game guy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not a big video game guy, but it's like, and this is going to sound extremely lame, and mostly because I'm a parent now, but, you know, the what is it, the GTA, Grand Theft Auto, right? Yeah. They do all kinds of crazy, malicious people getting killed all over the place and getting robbed and that sort of thing. It's like, why? I would, as an experiment, I would like to see somebody create like an online version of that, right? Where you can pick the side of the GTA, you're the thug, you know, trying to play through the game, versus the other side would be the people that are like going out and doing triage on these people that have been hurt and killed and shot by the guys that are playing as the bad guys, just to see. Which it's a dumb experiment, because I'm sure it's like everybody wants to be the thug running around shooting everybody and, you know, driving the nice cars and all that. Just to see if anybody would actually play as, okay, I'm going to be the medic in this one and, you know, try to save lives or whatever. Like I said, it's kind of lame, but as a social experiment, I'd be curious to see if anybody would actually be like, hey, this is kind of interesting. I don't know.
I don't thoughts. Know. I think people like you said, shooting things up is so in like it's inside our our DNA, our culture. It's like, as a kid, I mean, we wanted to blow. Even Mario Brothers was like killing little bad guys. So I don't know, dude.
I know. I still get the urge every once in a while to throw a shell at people.
But you know, you distinguish
Mario Brothers on them.
But you distinguish, like, you know how there's kid, like, they blame video games and stuff. I don't believe there has to be kids that do, but I don't. I believe that the majority of people can sit and do that, and they do. We see that, and I don't see how they blame video games for, you know, murders or killings. Or I think it's when you were a kid, when you guys were kids, did it ever cross your mind when you were playing a video game? Because we all have that. Oh, I'm now enjoying a video game, and when I'm done, you know, I'm thinking, let's transfer this into the real world. That never crossed my mind. I always knew this is a video game. We're just having a blast here. And the real world, you don't do that. I don't see the you know, why someone would take it to that.
Yeah, video games weren't so real when I was playing them, though. Like,
yeah, good point.
You know, we played Super Tecmo Bowl, you know, and
Doc wasn't going to turn into a big yellow spear and go chomp on ghosts.
Yeah, go Q-Bert all over you. No, watch me jump down the thing. But those just weren't, the games weren't that violent. Like, at no point did, you know, even the ones that were like on computer, like Duke Nukem, like that kind of stuff, it was still kind of cartoony enough that I don't really think, I see a disconnect between like what I played and the uber violent.
Was but do you Duke think Nukem? That
it was Doom, right? And Wolfenstein. Doom,
yeah. Wolfenstein, yeah.
Wolfenstein.
But do you think that if you did, I mean, honestly, like, I think that that's like a mental issue, dude, for someone to know.
Myself, what I believe is you got to be real careful about what you put in front of your face, because everything that you take in, every little bit of input can. Oh. You know what I mean? Can set you off in one direction. It's all about, yeah, yeah, all right.
No, I'm looking at Bales.
No, I know, I am too.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I said that. I didn't, that wasn't where I was going with it. But like, when you watch, like, the stimulus, things that, you know, you're taking in, you know,
I say no. You have to be a disturbed or screwed up individual to not distinguish between reality, especially when there's the dude to hurt, you know, like, no.
No. Well, I'm not saying that because you watch that, you're going to run right out and do it. But I thought you were asking me about being desensitized to it. And yeah, I think a little bit, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Do you really have to be disturbed, or do you just have to be lazy and wanting to blame something else, anything else?
Like,
I think that's a big part of it.
Wait, explain that.
It wasn't me. It was the dog.
Right.
It wasn't me. The video games made me do it.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
Right. Didn't Marilyn Manson deal with that for like most of his career? Like, everybody's saying like Columbine and all that stuff was his fault.
I think so.
Yeah. Music always.
Well, they always blame. Yeah. They blame the music and the video games, right?
I always love the Chris Rock had a good line about that with the Marilyn Manson. He's like, I wonder what was in Hitler's CD player. He's like, what was he listening to? He's like, how comes that was never an issue? And now it is.
Well, back in the 1980s, there was that push to add labels to records, because there was all the rap and the heavy metal with the death metal and all that. And
all the rappers with their hats.
Yeah. Like, yeah, as I said before. And so Congress, like, there was a bunch of people that got together, including Al Gore's wife, Tipper Gore.
Yeah.
And one of the people that fought very strongly against that on the side of music and free speech.
I know who it was.
Who was it?
Was it John Denver?
No. Dee Snider.
No. Well, Dee Snider was one of them, but
Frank Zappa too.
Yeah, Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa was the guy. Yeah, he really. There's a lot of videos out there showing him, and even with debates with these people, and he's spot on, man. As far as, you know, freedom of speech and what you want to say. I mean, dude, You know, you can plant an excuse on anything, but responsibility is in your hands. And if you're a kid, it's in your hands and your parents' hands. You know, it's a localized thing, but they tried to do it and they won. So now we have the labels. I don't know if even, heck, we don't even have CDs anymore.
I think you said this in the past, that when the minute they slapped those labels on CDs or cassette tapes or whatever, it just made people want to buy them even more.
I was going to say parental advisory just made it that much more awesome. It was guaranteed to have swear words. This is going
to. Yeah. Totally. I think that it's a thing that happens on, like, if you don't want your kid watching that or doing or listening to this or that, that's between you and your family and that's it. But like to do that they did, there was a lot of strong pushback, but it made it even more popular, frankly, you know.
Well, you can go to your super Walmart and buy your clean version of any album you want now, Eloy. So
really,
you're all set.
I wonder how many CDs they actually sell.
Who?
Like Walmart.
Do they sell any CDs anymore?
Yeah.
Does anyone sell CDs?
Yeah, well, I think Walmart still sells CDs, and we have one of those FYI stores in our mall.
Really?
Or FYE. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Yeah, and they still sell CDs.
I don't think we have those up here. We have Newberry Comics up in my region.
Mm. For your entertainment?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, by the way, John Denver was on the good side of the censorship battle. I was right.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I almost for sure remember him being like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, because it was, you always see the video and it was Frank Zappa with his big old mustache and then Dee Snider looking all Dee Snider, and then, you know, John Denver, who looked like he would come into the wrong, he was in the wrong spot, but you know, he had the same argument.
Yeah, everybody keeps waiting for that company, that other social media platform to come in and you know, kind of pop YouTube in the eye and give them a black eye and said, okay, now we're going to start stealing away your content. And what I've heard and seen, it seems like there's a lot of people that are moving to Twitch, which is like, I don't know a lot about it, but it's pretty much a pay to play kind of thing. You know, people get on there and they if you want to get recognized as an audience member, you basically throw them a buck, throw them a tip. You know, it's kind of like you throw a tip in the hat when the guy's playing on the subway. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you get a quick shout out like, oh, thanks, you know, Billy Bob for chunking me that change. And if you think about it, that's kind of a smart move on Twitch's part, because they're like, okay, you want to come into this platform, this is it up front. If you want to play, you're going to pay, right? YouTube came in and said, it's free. Upload, you know, your gigabytes and terabytes of content onto our website and we're going to host it for free forever. I mean, that's bananas, dude, if you think about it, right? It's like, where can you go and say, hey, just save all this stuff for me here? You know, it's like I easily got half a terabyte of video on their platform, right? And they host it for free. I can send that to anybody, share it anywhere on multiple platforms, which they facilitate, right, for free.
Right. And if you run a website, you know that to upload a video just kills you. Like, I can only put maybe 15 or 20 videos on my website and I would be way over what I'm allowed to have on it. So it's insane. And it gets really expensive after that, like in the hundreds of dollars per month to host videos. Can you imagine how much they spend just to host the millions of videos they have?
Well, they own all the infrastructure, so probably nothing.
Well, I mean, there's got to be a cost somewhere, though. They have the cost for the upkeep and to implement it in the first place. I understand what you mean, though. It's not an out-of-pocket cost like they're paying someone else, but yeah, like you said, it's bananas that it's free. How are they not charging us for this?
Yeah, see, that was my point, right? That they started off as it's free. And, you know, then he started trying to do the subscription-based thing with YouTube Red and all that. And people are like, you know, I've got the ad blocker. It's like, I don't need to pay for you to ad block the ads for me. Mm-hmm. Or people just skip the ad, you know, watch 5 seconds and skip it. So it's kind of a different scenario where, you know, people are getting used to this whole idea of subscription-based content. And you got people like Twitch coming in and say, hey, you know, they tell you right up front, you want to get noticed, you want to get whatever recognized in the audience, you're going to pay. And it's, and to me, that's a smart way to set it up. And people are going crazy, man. I don't know if you guys watch Phil DeFranco, but like every week that guy talks about another record that's been broken on Twitch. About, there's like, the first one that I heard of was like this one guy that was a gamer, did some live thing with Drake, the rapper, and he had 600,000 people watching him live stream at one time, 600,000, right? Broke the record. I can't remember what the latest one, somebody else did it again. I think it might've been the same guy or some, anyways, another person, another gamer. It's like a million plus. So a million plus people. And some of those people are paying, some of them I think are just watching, but these are people throwing money in the guy's hat while they're doing the show, right? I mean, that's like, to me, that's like the epitome of the guy hanging on the subway playing his guitar, except he's got a million people in front of him. You've got, you know, if half the audience throws a quarter in there, you know, the guy's at six figures.
Who gets the money in the hat? The creator or Twitch, or they take a cut? How's that work? Do you know?
I don't know the split. No, I haven't looked into it that much. What piqued my curiosity was hearing about these guys breaking all these records. I would never do anything like that. I'm not that type of person, but.
Yeah, I'm not very good live on camera. I like the fact that I can edit and tweak it for 15 plus hours.
Well, you're not a big fan of the pay me money anyway, are you? Because you don't like Patreon or anything like that, do you?
I like the idea of Patreon when it first came out, like a patron of the arts. But once it got to a bunch of panhandlers, that's when I didn't like it.
Right. Oh, I get that. Eloy, I think Eloy has some experience with that. I would assume Twitch takes a cut of that, because doesn't YouTube take a cut of that for the super chat on live YouTube videos?
Yeah, they take a cut of everything. But I wanted to say something that you guys mentioned, that, you know, it's free, and it's incredible, because keep in mind that we're talking about the Googles and Amazons and YouTubes, and you guys know very well that when you go, say, and Facebook, when you go anywhere on social media, right next to your screen, you're going to see a pop-up that shows virtually what you were talking about a day ago or an hour ago, pop up, you know, advertising to you. If you multiply that by the millions upon millions of people, and people actually, like me, I will not click on, I will not, you could put up whatever you want, I won't click, but there's millions of people that will. I mean, they've created a scenario where you feed them content. And those very people that are feeding them content are actually, we're basically, it's kind of like a matrix system, okay? So free is it's true on that level. I'm uploading and it's free, but there's things that are occurring where they're drawing from that well, from what you're doing. I mean, we're basically employees, you understand? And we're basically getting paid whatever it is that we're getting paid, which you all know what that is. So essentially, we all work for the matrix. So this whole notion of free and you know, autonomous, that you may think that you are, we're freaking in the matrix, my friends.
Not me, bud.
Oh, you're in the matrix.
No way. They won't even let me earn money. They knew ahead of time. I was unplugged early.
Unplugged that guy.
Yep. They were like, oh, he's trouble. Pull the plug on that fella.
Well, you may not, well, wait a second. So you may think that, you may like to think this, but really look at it, you know, disconnected. There's different levels. So they did what they did, your situation, but you still participate on platforms on the level that you do, and you still see ads popping up, and you're still in it, in that level. So there's different levels of participation, but you're still in it. You're using the platform right now as we speak.
Yeah, I want to be one of the Smiths.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I dug those. I dug Hugo. That's cool.
Easily my favorite movie, man. The Matrix.
Oh, I love it.
That movie. All of them, right? Or just the first one?
Yeah.
Good you segue. Know what? Like how we got out of something heavy right into a movie. It was like, oh, remember like that guy in that movie? It was like, that was an excellent movie. Let's talk about that movie now.
We're going back to safety.
There's no way out. What I'm trying to say is that literally we are in the Matrix, man. Like, well, literally is too rough. We're not like in the Matrix, but we're in the Matrix.
But you can get out. There was a whole bunch of movies about getting out.
Dude, when that first movie came out, man, they were so good about like the online, like all the online stuff, right? You go to the website and there's like little tidbits here and there about the Matrix. And I mean, they reeled me in. I was all about it, man. They had the, after the all three movies came out and the Animatrix and they had some shorts. They had like this box set that had everything from the Matrix except for the video game, because they even tied the video game into it. Where there was a portion of the video game that had pretty much a non-consequential storyline, but it was part of the whole universe. And it was actually, they make a reference to like a little bit of it in one of the movies. I can't remember which one. But yeah, the box set came out, man, had all that stuff, dude. And my brother bought that for me for Christmas. I was like, this is the best Christmas present I've ever gotten easily in my adult life. It's like fantastic. Loved it. Watched them all.
Is that like your go-to movie that you can watch over and over?
Yeah, I'd love to, but since it's so damn violent, I can't watch it in front of the kids. I'm just like waiting till they're like, you know, the right age. And it's like, oh man, you're going to love this. And they're going to probably think it's the lamest thing ever.
I just like the first one. I don't like the other two.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the other ones.
Dude, I'll be that guy. I'll say I like them all. People complain about the second one being slow and not. I was like, it's the second act.
All right,
it's a three-act play. You got to build up to it.
What do you think of John Wick?
John Wick's badass, dude. The first one and the second one. Second one was a little bit hokey.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, they were just churning the formula a little bit.
Well, see, that's my problem, right? It's like,
what worked? Let's do that exact same thing.
Well, I don't mind that, but it's like, then they get with the whole. It's like the first one was, you can suspend your disbelief. It's like, yeah, you know, the guy got messed up and I'll believe that he survived all that, right? I'll buy it because it's just well done. But the second one,
John Wick.
Have you seen it?
No, I don't know. What can you give us at least?
Pause right now and go watch John Wick. We're going to wait for you.
We'll wait
to finish watching it.
It's
badass, dude.
He's a hitman that tried to get out of the business to settle down. And then,
oh, he would love this movie.
Yeah,
he
they
would
came.
So relate to this
they,
movie.
They came and did something that wronged him, that pulled him out of retirement. So you,
it's Keanu Reeves. Love it. Keanu Reeves is the guy. Is the main guy.
Is it on Netflix?
No, I don't think so.
No,
you can find it as an online stream if you try really hard, Eloy.
You had me at Keanu.
I said too much. another thing about John Wick is a lot of those fight scenes are one camera shot. They're not a bunch of jump cuts. So they're like, they're kind of reminiscent of the first season of Daredevil, right? Where they were doing all those. There's one of the episodes. I don't remember which one. He's fighting in a hallway of an apartment.
Hallway fight scene.
And the camera just keeps panning. And there's another one that takes place in a car, but it's like one shot instead of your Liam Neeson, you know, multiple shots movie to do something.
Anything. I don't know who you are.
Old school cartoons were brutal. I remember this one where there was a bunch of elves that came out at night after the old cobbler fell asleep so they could do all his work on the shoes. And the one elf is holding a big nail, right? Bigger than his body. And he's like, when I nod my head, you hit it. And he nods his head and the guy cold cocks him with a hammer. Like Brennan's hippie stuff.
How about old school Tom and Jerry? I mean, violent for no reason.
Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Oh, Wile
E. That was my favorite. It's still my favorite.
It is. Hold on. I think we do this every episode with something or other.
The member berry pie?
Is that what you're talking about? Member berry pie. Go down the line and what was your favorite cartoon as a kid?
What age?
I watched a lot of old stuff.
What age is the prime age for cartoons? Like what age range?
I still watch cartoons. I'm 43.
Probably like what? 9 to 12, somewhere in that range. Like when you're
in the lower.
Seven?
Seven to, I'd do seven to like 11, 12. Then you start getting to middle school, and then you're too cool for, you know, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I still liked cartoons in middle school so much. I couldn't get away from it. Even in high school, I still watched cartoons. It stopped around the ninth grade, but cartoons started getting lame.
When did you discover girls? I think that's when it stops, right? That's when all the stuff is like, yeah, that stuff is cool and all, but...
Then you kind of closet watch cartoons, don't you? Like your guilty pleasures.
Yeah, you don't tell your friends about it.
I got to get home to watch this.
Telling you right now, I watch cartoons.
Hey, listen.
He just lays it on the table.
Rick and Morty, man. That's my cartoon of choice.
I have not watched that yet.
You need to go watch that while Eloy watches John Wick. Yeah. Man.
Everybody pause.
Yeah. Be like, well, it was real nice meeting you, and I have your number. Maybe I'll call you, but I've got to go because Batman the Animated Series is on in like 15 minutes. So I got to
That was cool.
That's a good cartoon. Yeah. That's one of my go-to favorites, like as far as cartoon, favorite cartoon.
I believe that's on Amazon Prime right now, the whole series.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is way too darkly animated and way too verbose.
It was so over
for me to get my kid into right now. He's
dude,
like
the Joker,
Batman.
Is Joker like, yeah. In the animated series was senile. It was great.
Oh yeah, Mark Hamill.
Yeah, perfect Joker,
and Batman so, again.
Yeah. I mentioned one time that I think I would like to see Mark Hamill play the real life Joker. Have you ever seen him do like the voice, like when he's doing the Joker voice? I mean, he gets into it, man. He gets like just he literally gets animated. It's like I could see him just really going.
Well, did you see where he played the Reverse Flash on The Flash?
No.
Really?
I don't see that.
Yeah, no. he was the villain for quite a few episodes. He plays a really good, like whacked out villain.
He was a villain in the first one, wasn't he? In the Flash from the 90s.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, wasn't he the Trickster in the 90s Flash?
Shoot, I muted myself. The Trickster is what he played in the Flash, I guess. I said that wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't the Reverse Flash.
But he was like, wasn't he masquerading as the Reverse Flash or something?
I didn't watch it. I don't know.
We'd have to ask Amy.
HR Amy.
Right.
That was the best.
He's calling back to season one.
That was the best comic reproduction in a series that I've seen. Like ever, the Flash has been incredible. Like I've got nothing bad to say about the Flash. It's gone crazy, but I love it
a little bit much lately for my taste.
I don't know why, but for me it feels I just like love reaching. The way they do it. What
feels like they're reaching to make it something that it's not anymore.
All right, I'm going back to Dan because he's like my superhero consultant.
You have a bad choice for
your You like superheroes, man. What out of all the Netflix superhero series that they're making, what's your favorite?
I've only watched The Punisher. I've got kids, so they watch the TV most of the time, right? It's kind of like they own it even though we bought it. So it's like ask me about Gravity Falls and other kids. Actually, Gravity Falls is a really good cartoon. On the Disney Channel, it's a little bit it's one of those where they push it and there's some references here and there to like, you know, 80s 90s stuff, and man, there's some scenes it's like, man, that's like creepy, like straight up creeped out my 7-year-old kid. He's like, I don't want to watch this one, dad. He's like, I know what happens at the end, I don't want to watch it. So it's a good cartoon. It's got a little mystery vibe. It's kind of like X-Files meets cartoons.
So you haven't watched any of the Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones?
Well, the only one I did watch was Punisher because my brother kept saying, like, man, you got to watch The Punisher. You got to watch The Punisher. And I watched The Punisher and it was badass, man. I love that Punisher. I like that they kept it, you know, somewhat believable. They didn't get too comic booky with it, you know? It was more like it could have been called anything else and it still would have been awesome.
How good in the first season of Daredevil, though, was Fisk? That character, the bad guy, with Kingpin.
He didn't watch it. He just told you.
No, I'm talking to you.
Oh, yeah, I liked it.
The only thing I took away from what Dan just said is that Dan doesn't get very much alone time.
And that his kids own everything that he's paid for.
Yes.
And let's have your psychological evaluation now. Dan, it seems that you hang out in the dark a lot by yourself.
Now you know why.
Do they not explain everything?
Do they not let you have the light? Are you in there being quiet because they're making you?
They're afraid of the dark, so.
Oh.
All you bastards sidestepped the question I asked. What was your favorite cartoon?
I told you.
We don't know. We can't remember.
What did you say, Doc?
Favorite cartoon? I would have to say Batman and the Animated Series.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And favorite cartoon character? I still like Wile E. Coyote when he would draw the pictures. Like try to figure something out, and then for no reason at all, one episode he talked, and he had the business card.
Yeah,
he was Wile E. Coyote, super genius, and then he never talked again.
Man, I don't remember any of that.
That's funny because those cartoons were before our time, really.
I watched everything in rerun.
Yeah. All the Looney Tunes and the Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah, I mean, I have knowledge of, like, I watched everything on Nickelodeon and Nick at Night. Like, I used to watch sitcoms from back in the day because they liked it. It was kind of like Netflix is now. You could binge watch.
Yeah, because
like, they would play marathons.
Back. Yeah. You know, the Monsters.
I love the Monsters. Adam's Family, all that stuff when it was on. Sometimes they'd show, like, a whole season in a weekend.
Right.
That was great. Anything I could do like that and try to pick it up.
The Incredible Hulk TV show.
I never watched it.
Horrible. And Eloy's probably going to say he loved it and I'm going to crush his dreams.
I don't want to say I love it, but I dig the fact that Lou Ferrigno will be the only guy ever to play the Hulk as a human.
Oh, that's true.
Mm. Yeah. He fought a bear that one time.
I got to know what 7-year-old Eloy was watching, though. Well, he's got to take his time to unmute his microphone. Way to go.
Strip sad Hulk music.
Well, no, I was going to say, because listen, cartoon. What?
I said sad Hulk music.
It's the saddest music ever.
Yeah, I remember that Dukes of Hazzard and Hulk were back to back, and I'd watched that back in the day when it was happening. But as far as cartoons, the feeling that you would get, I liked it all, dude. I consumed cartoons like you guys did, you know. There was a feeling when you turned on the TV and watched G.I. Joe, like I would rush back home and I'd almost always miss G.I. because they'd have it in the afternoons. I'd almost, with the way the damn bus would slowly make it back to the house with all the damn stops. I'd rush to, and I'd catch the end of freaking G.I. Joe and it would piss me off. I loved G.I. Joe. All the characters, the different powers that they had, you know, their skills. Loved it.
Powers, man. Powers.
Well, some of them did. So, like, there were two twins. I think, I don't remember their names, but they were twins. And it was Thanos and they were circus act guys. And, like, they had some sort of power.
I don't know if they had powers, man.
One would
get just really good.
No, one would get hit, and the other one would feel the punch. Remember,
What happens to twins, right? I mean,
well, that's what they implied in the thing. I guess I guess it's not a power. You know?
All right, man. I remember watching G.I. Joe and Thundercats, the A-Team cartoon, Alf cartoon, even the Pac-Man cartoon. I'm gonna say my favorite young child cartoon was probably Scooby-Doo.
Really. I loathe Scooby-Doo.
You did?
Oh, I hated it.
Really?
I mean, it was after, you know, it was an older cartoon to me, like what Looney Tunes and all that was. Yeah, I can't stand Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I love it.
They're still making new ones, dude. Did you know that? They still make one hour. Yeah. The Supernatural show, TV show?
Yes. Amy's dead set on watching it.
Yep. You got to watch it. Actually, they're pretty good, man. I've seen a couple of the newer ones because my kids all of a sudden got into Tom and Jerry for a little while, and on that same channel they'd play Scooby-Doo, and it's funny because I thought, oh, they're not gonna like the old version, and the funny thing is they didn't care, man. The old version, new version, the new version, they'd watch whatever. They just got a kick out of it.
Well, they really haven't changed the animation that much,
you know.
They came out with another one, and they're just like. I got to give it to these guys that are animating stuff nowadays because there's so many references that they put in for, like, you know, adults, which I don't think they did that so much. Like G.I. Joe back in the day didn't put references for your mom and dad, you know, it's just like because your mom and dad weren't watching them.
Wasn't G.I. Joe like a public service announcement every week?
That was what Eloy got home in time for. That's when you knew it was over. It would be a horrible PSA at the end. It'd be like, remember, kids, even though the drugs in your parents' medicine cabinet look like candy, you shouldn't eat them. And it would be like, now you know. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe. Yes, exactly.
Well, they would have DuckTales right after it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But it was no, but see, I wanted to see the battles between Cobra and then I'd end up with DuckTales, little ducks running around, and I watched it too, but it's like I wanted to see the good stuff, man. And in the mornings, I'd wake up super early to catch I guess they had Transformers in the mornings, and they had GoBots as well at one point. If you remember, there was Transformers, and then there were the GoBots. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
They're no-bots. I hated those.
Wasn't there like a ton of robot cartoons back then?
No-bots.
They had Voltron.
Right, Voltron, Transformers, whatever GoBots are.
No, GoBots were actually cool.
Not according to Dan.
No, they weren't.
No, man. They're like, to me, they're the Transformers ripoff. It's like,
yeah, GoBots were the Kmart Transformers.
Yeah, they were the blue light special Transformers.
No, man. See, here's the thing about it, though. You only get so much of the Transformers, and then they gave you GoBots, and it was like double the fun. Yes, it wasn't the Transformers, but there was a little bit more. I liked the avenue opening up to more. I wanted more than Thundercats. It was freaking awesome, dude. I'm sorry. The 80s for cartoons was the best. I mean, come on.
I want to know why Bales liked Scooby-Doo. What was it that did it for you?
I liked Scooby and Shaggy.
Talking dog, man.
It was Thelma.
But I was so young, I didn't pick up on any of the, you know,
marijuana references. Yeah,
I didn't pick up on any of it. Like, these guys are just, they're skirting everything to go to the kitchen to eat, and they end up like saving the day and solving everything. I'm like, I have some hope.
Yeah, you were like the long haired kid being like watching Scooby-Doo, and they're like,
long haired seven, pal.
Oh, well, I thought you were saying right through. I'm sorry.
I was oblivious to it too. I mean, I thought they were just hungry.
I still like Scooby-Doo.
Okay, because when I was seven, Batman the Animated Series wasn't on, so yeah, I need to change my answer. Totally going for seven.
That's what Ryan said. Seven.
I did. Dan came up with 7 to 11.
Scooby Doo. I still like Ben 10. I like Rick.
Ben 10 was good.
Ren and Stimpy. I had a South Park era, you know, in the beginning, and then it got just too tired. I never got into Archer. I never got into the Death Metal cartoon. What was that?
Oh my gosh.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got into that.
No, not heavy metal, Eloy. Let's not go down that road again.
Metalocalypse.
No, wasn't there a thing called heavy metal, though? It was
VHS. Yeah, that was old school VHS tape where you saw cartoon boobs. That's why you're remembering it, Eloy. Knock it off. Dan, you mentioned Supernatural, so we have to know if you're a Team Dean or a Team Sam.
Oh god, man, it's been a while since I watched that show.
Yeah, sure it has.
It has. I'd go with Dean just because I like his jackets more.
Because Sam is a girl.
Yeah, I guess it does kind of come off that way. It's funny. That show's been on forever, man. I think my wife and I used to watch it before we had kids, and my daughter's
The last season is next season.
Really?
Really
killing it.
Yep.
God. Like zoinks. So that's the end of part one. With Dan the Maker Man, shortly after we stopped, we pulled off his mask to reveal who he really was. If you want to know, you're going to have to tune in next week. Until then, hit us up on the socials. Like I said, we're on Facebook and Instagram. And come back next week for part two. We'll see you then.